As always, it's a pleasure to be up here delivering the welcome. And you know, before I start these things, all the time I'm at home sitting thinking, what am I going to say? What am I going to talk about? And the main thing today is just that I have one of the best jobs in the world because God uses the youth of this church as a tool to really speak and work through me. I get to see him every single Wednesday, every single Sunday, every time they reach out to me. I get to see him through your kids. And one of the things we've been working on, talking about lately, is not taking the church and the youth group for granted. I remember growing up in my youth group, and we went to church every Sunday, Wednesday, and it was just the same thing. And we just kind of took it for granted. But I try to help them understand that what we have here is special. It's special. I remember the first time I realized that my youth group was special and a little different. My father's a pastor, so we went to a revival. And we were sitting there at this other church in Northwest Georgia. And at the end of the service, they started calling all the kids up there from the church. And they would call them up there, and they would talk to them one by one. This is a true story. They would talk to them one by one, and the kid would say, like confessional, they say, "Hey, this week I was on the porch and I took a dollar out of so-and-so's wallet." And the preacher pulled out a strap and he started like spanking the kids right there in front of the church. My sister and I freaked out. Like, we looked at each other like, "Do you see what's going on here?" And then we looked at my mom and was like, "I love you. Don't get any ideas. Don't get any ideas." But I realized then my youth group was special. Like, we didn't do stuff like that. It was a safe place to come. So I try to get them to understand it, how special, you know, what we do and what they have here, the great parents, the great support staff that we have, just how special it is. And, you know, I try to get them to understand it all the time. And sometimes, you know, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, that conviction works inside of me as well, because I think us as leaders sometimes take them for granted. Now, we have tons of stuff going on. You know, I have an 8-week-old that doesn't like me, a wife that keeps having babies that don't like me. And, I think he likes me. Let's pray he likes me. But, you know, they have a lot going on. So sometimes you sort of take them for granted. And they are really good kids. And when I was editing the video that you're going to see, it's like just something came over me, just hearing their voices and having them recount their experiences and seeing the images from camp and just seeing how God was moving through them. We really have a great group of kids here. And that's because we have a great group of parents here. We have a great group of leaders here because they know God through you. They got to know God through you, and it's a testament to you and your walk that you are raising wonderful children that are going to grow out and be amazing Christians and really do great things in this world. So, you know, I just really want to take this time this morning to just say thank you for being you, and thank you for the next generation that you are helping to raise, and thank you for trusting me with them. So, you know, without taking up any more of your time, I just want to say, you know, thank you and welcome to Eagles Way Church, that is apparently a factory for great Christians. So let's enjoy this praise and worship experience. Thank you.
just want, as we're starting this next song, I just want you to, along with me, just really think about, where is it that I hold back? What is it that I don't want to give over? What is it that I don't want to relinquish to God? What area am I just wanting to hold on to so tight that I don't want to surrender? And how's that working for me? What's that doing for me? This morning, oh my goodness, He is so mindful of you and me. His goodness chases after us. And a line in the last song we're going to sing is, He sings over us. He rejoices over us in song. He sings over us joy. He sings over us peace. He sings over us health. He says, I've called you sons and daughters. You are mine. You don't have to fear. You don't have to hold on to that thing and like we have control anyway. Because we don't. And when we release that to Him, He so rejoices with us and over us, and He has called us His own. And we don't have to fear. We don't have to fret. We can lay it at His feet. He created us. Why would we hold back something that He knows much more about than we do? And this morning, I just want to encourage you. I know there are situations that you're thinking, how could He possibly work in this situation? How could He possibly change it? How could He possibly make this good? And this morning, I just am sharing what's in my heart, and I hope that it ministers to yours, that He can. And I believe He will. But even if He doesn't, I'm still praising Him. You're still praising Him. And no matter what we're going through, when we surrender that to Him, He is so ready for you to do that. He's waiting for you to do that. He is singing and rejoicing over you with songs of deliverance.
Right.
He's singing and rejoicing over you with songs of just joy. And just, don't you want to feel lighter? And let that go and surrender that stuff to Him. And just, it doesn't matter how big it is or how small it is. You know what it is in you. And I don't know who this morning is for me. But just as we're singing, really surrender. Surrender. And it's a process. And as Dusty told me this week, there's nothing wrong with that process. There's nothing wrong with us being in a journey, on a journey. That's good. That's fine. We're always moving forward. We're going forward. And release it today. Surrender it to Him today. And allow Him just to pour into that place in your life to set you free, because you're His son and you're His daughter. Worship with us this morning. we give everything to you today, Lord. And disappointment. I will forever sing of your goodness in the darkest of times. I will forever sing of your light and your love in the best, most amazing of times. No matter what season, no matter what circumstance, no matter what day, I will forever sing of you. I will forever sing of you. Thank you, God, that you are within us, that your spirit dwells within us. And God, and how can anything go wrong in our world, God, when the spirit of the living God dwells within us? And we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to be afraid of, God, because faithful you have been and faithful you will be. Gosh, we can rest in that faithfulness and his goodness and his love. As Jennifer said, and she quoted, that chases after us. That he pours himself out on us. His love, not only does he sing of his deliverance, he sings of his joy. He sings of his faithfulness. He sings it over your life. Sings it over you. Sings it over you. Sings it. And because of that, you're no longer a slave to fear. You're no longer a slave to anything holding. You're no longer a slave to negative thinking. You're no longer a slave to disappointment. You're no longer a slave to this didn't go right in my life. You're no longer a slave to all the things that we've worked up in our minds that were messed up. You're no longer a slave. You're no longer a slave to that, but now you're obedient and you're free in His truth. You're obedient and you're free in the truth that says, I'm working everything for your good. I'm for you, not against you. Wherever you go, I'm there. You go descend into the pits of hell, I'm there. You've ride on the wings, and wherever you go, ascend into heaven, wherever you're there, look to your left, look to your right, look in front of you, look behind you, I'm there. And I am within you. Within you. And there's no place you'd rather Him be than right there in the very breath of your lungs. That when you speak, He's speaking. So speak to whatever you want to speak to. You want God to speak, speak and let it be. Speak and let it be. Amen. for freedom in you. We thank you, God, that we have been liberated. Thank you, Father. You are so good. And we choose to walk in it, to be it, to live it, to breathe it. And everyone says, amen.
Okay, as I mentioned during the welcome, we have a video for you guys. It's just a recap of camp. We do it every year, and every year I promise Will that I'm going to get it under 3 minutes. But there's just so much good stuff when I start editing, and it's like, I got to put that in. So it's not 3 minutes. It's not 10 minutes, but it's not 3 minutes. But, you know, this is just our way of showing you guys what it is we're doing, what goes on, but also thanking you for the support you've given us through the fundraisers, through the many things that you do to support our youth group. So I hope you enjoy it.
Well, what I learned from camp was how to connect with my fellow youth members, and that it's really important to be friends with your youth members, and also to connect with God through other people. And yeah, team building exercises were great too.
I think the biggest thing I learned at camp was learning to listen to God's voice through all the craziness that's going on with everybody being there and then all the activities we had. But really also listening to myself and knowing what, like, when to do the right thing, and just having so much fun though too. Probably rafting was my favorite. Especially being able to talk with everybody in the raft and having our guy tell us all kinds of different stories. Team building was a lot of fun, especially working together and trusting each other that they'll do what we all need to do and figuring all that out.
It was obviously like super turn. And I know I like owe $5 to the church now for saying turn, but it's okay because that's my entire camp experience was turn. I really enjoyed the services, and they really hit home with me because I was like kind of having trouble with like worrying about a lot of things, and I feel like the services just really was like what I needed, kind of to like clear all that stuff up, and they helped me like gain a lot of trust in God and just like not, you know, worrying about things or fearing things, and just kind of like letting Him have control.
It was weird because I don't do public or group things. I sit at home. That was weird, but I liked it. I think the rafting was my favorite because we got to just kind of sit there and talk a lot, but also do stuff as well. And I like the water. It is more fun than it sounds. It sounds like you're going to be stuck in a cabin a lot with people, but it's actually more fun than just you're stuck in a cabin with people.
I really liked it. My favorite part was most likely paintball, or definitely paintball, because paintball is awesome. Yes, the services were my favorite part of the entire camp experience because I got really emotional during the last one, and I really liked the first two. So I feel more connected to God and the Holy Spirit, and I just feel like one. My favorite part was of the team building exercises was the wall, because I was the last one up. So I think it was John and Thomas just grabbed both of my arms and just like pulled me over the wall. Like my feet just like levitated off the ground. It was awesome.
It was very spiritual. It's very connecting with God, and not just God, but the people surrounding you, your family. And it was very, very fun and adventurous. And then there was certain things, parts of the trip that we just got quiet. And it was very, very, how do you say it? It was very, very emotional and responsive from God and everyone else. And we just had this bond that nobody else could have except between God and us. It was really, really fun. My grandfather was there, so of course it had to be fun. Yeah.
Hi. I'm Alicia. I feel like we've matured more, so it was like more emotional and stuff. And what we talked about, like when Will was talking, on the third night, that was like a really good message. I really liked it. Everyone got emotional. And some people started talking tongues, which was kind of cool. And okay, horseback riding was great. My horse was like not happy about it, and he was like biting all the other horses and stuff. Bobby Joe, the devotionals were good. I liked them. They were good before breakfast and after breakfast before we left. Kind of got us ready for the day.
It was good. I mean, it's not what I'm used to. It was a lot more relaxed and focused on the youth group. I'm more used to you wake up at like 5 in the morning and you're constantly going, and then you get less than an hour with your youth group, and then you're forced to like socialize with everybody else. So I guess it was a nice change. I'm not used to being very close to youth groups, and I guess it was nice to like get to know everybody, because I got to talk to a bunch of people that I normally don't talk to. So I got close to them and learned things I didn't know. Normally I don't really connect with messages that are like told at a lot of youth camps, but I guess the way that they told them and like the meaning of everything kind of clicked with me this year, and so I was glad about that. I did a lot, and it was more than I've done all summer, so that says a lot. I did the blob for the first time, and that was wild because Greg like shot me out. I didn't go very far, I guess, but it was still a blast. And then we had the horse fiasco and a bunch of pranks and card games. I enjoyed it. You should totally go. It's a great experience in my opinion, and that's coming from a shut-in. So, I mean, go for it.
It was amazing. Overall, totally every aspect was pretty different even. It was the same camp, different kids, different environment, kind of I had an awesome time connecting with everybody, and the kids, every year they surprise me just due to their age and their advancement in their spirituality is kind of like they're almost twice their age spiritually in a way. But these kids understand that we've lived lives and that we understand their problems and that we can help them, and they come to us. And then when they have uplifting things to say, they don't hold that back either, and it's really amazing. And goodness, the services. They were definitely, the spirit was there. We did communion together. And we broke down some walls, and we got rid of our fears a little bit, and a few of us got some new talents.
The messages, they were all themed, spirit, soul, and body, and they were on each one got its own night. And Brian did an amazing job, and he's doing great things. And Wills was great. He represented some emotional baggage that we can carry and sometimes not leave to God to take away from us. And then Buren, as always, did awesome. He always brings a great message.
We are very turnt ready. A.O. turnt.
Yes!
Yep.
How was camp?
Pretty good.
Pretty good?
Let me get a thank you. Let me get a thank you.
I wasn't even recording. Say it again.
All right. Jason, how about joining me back up here? I'm going to use your illustration this morning. We played golf yesterday, didn't we?
Sure did.
I wouldn't have played had it not been for Paul Doss's birthday golf outing. It was hot.
It was.
And back nine, I cursed myself for being stupid coming out in that hot weather. But I got to experience something that you shot with your lowest round ever?
One of them, yes.
One of them. Yeah. What'd you shoot?
82.
82. And if somebody hadn't gotten your head on number nine, you'd have shot in the 70s. And, you know, what amazes me about that is that outside of me, you're the worst beginning golfer I ever saw. I mean, both of us, when I started playing golf, it was horrendous.
Yeah.
I hit a golf ball one time, and my head on my golf club went further than the golf ball. Billy Woodward gave me a great set of woods one time, and after he watched me play a while with them, he came and took them back from me. He said, I'm not, he said, you aren't worthy of these. Basically, he said, you aren't worthy of these clubs. Right. And then he took my old ones and he went and had them refinished. Now, that was sweet of him. Had them all refinished and given back to me. But we both play a whole lot better. You know why?
Why?
Never gave up.
That's right.
You never gave up. Aren't you glad you never gave up?
Yes.
And if you hadn't let him get in your head on number yes. 9, you'd have been in the 70s.
Yes.
I'm going to keep reminding you of that.
Thank
if he
you.
Hadn't, he got where?
In my head.
Up here?
Yeah.
Because that was the only bad shot I see you make.
Pretty much.
Was that tee shot on number 9.
Yep.
Because somebody got up here.
Yep.
Right up here.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
And you went down.
Yes, I did.
You did great. David, aren't you glad you stuck it out? You didn't give up. And you kept on growing and growing in God. And you're in a place right now you've never been before because you didn't give up. And you could call me the other day, and you've called me over the last few months on a couple of different occasions with a revelation that God gave you because you never gave up. And you see things you've never seen. You hear things you've never heard. You're becoming who you have never been because you're being changed into His likeness and into His image because you never gave up. You never gave up. And that's what it's all about. You never give up. Nelson Mandela said this, do not judge me by my successes.
Yes, sir.
Judge me by how many times I fell down and got back up again.
That's it.
Don't judge me by my successes. Judge me by how many times I got knocked down and I got back up again. And I saw a book in my library. I've had it for probably 30 years. And the title of the book is Changed Into His Image. And when I saw that book, I was reminded of a series I did years and years and years ago on the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and how that God took these men and changed them into His image. Aren't you glad that we're being changed into His image? In 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul said it like this, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect. And listen, and the veil that is removed is the veil of the flesh. The veil of seeing yourself and seeing other people through the eyes of the flesh. That's the veil that's removed. And when that veil is removed, we can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. When that veil of seeing people and seeing myself only through the flesh has been removed, then I can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. See, it's one thing to see it. It's another thing to reflect it. One thing to see it. It's another thing to reflect it. And let me say that. I've said this before. You can't see the glory of God in your life until you can see the glory of God in other people's lives. If you can see the glory of God in others, you'll see the glory of God in you. And you'll reflect it. And the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Wow, aren't you glad of that? I'm not who I see in the mirror. I am way, way beyond that. I am who I see in the mirror of His Word. You see, as we talked last week, James said, when we look into the mirror of His Word, we really see who we are. And the man who looks intently into that remembers who God says he is when he looks into the mirror of the Word. But the one who walks away and forgets what he saw in the mirror, he forgets what he saw in the mirror. You see, we don't look at this for condemnation. We look at this for light and guidance. And when you see the mirror of the Word, I see myself as God sees me. I see you as God sees you. And when I see me as God sees me, and I see you as God sees you, then we reflect the glory of the Lord. And I don't forget to look at people not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because if I look to them after the flesh, I will see them in corruption. But if I see them after the Spirit, I'll see them in light and glory and honor. And that's our privilege we have. This series is going to be using three patriarchs of Scripture, listen, to show a solution to our own problems and seeing how God in Christ is sufficient in the face of our own human failures. I want to talk to you today about how God takes ordinary people and makes them extraordinary. He takes weak people and makes them strong. And doesn't see us as weak. He sees us as strong. When we see ourselves through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is a name that God chose for himself. Let me just read you some scriptures that's so important. Exodus 3, 5 through 6. He says, "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned, talking to Moses. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Exodus chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. Now go and call together all the elders of Israel. Tell them, the Lord God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me. He told me, I have been watching closely, and I see how the Egyptians are treating you." In Matthew 22, he says this, carried into the New Testament, what Jesus said, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So is the God of the living, not of the dead." And again in Matthew chapter 8, verses 10, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from the east and the west, and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob at the feast of the kingdom of heaven." One more scripture, Matthew 21, verse 28. "But what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' And the son answered, 'No, I won't go.' But later he changed his mind and went anyway. Then the father told the other son, 'You go.' And he said, 'Yes, sir, I will.' But he didn't go. Which of the two obeyed his father?" They replied, "The first." Then Jesus explained this meaning, "I tell you the truth, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will come into the kingdom of God before you do." That ought to give us a lot of hope. Ought to give you a lot of hope. He said, "I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be tax collectors which were hated. They were cheaters. They cheated people. They stole from people. They did their taxes and they weren't honest. They made them pay more taxes than they were supposed to pay. And they would hold back the taxes and then they would go give Caesar what was Caesar's. But they would hold back some because they were stealing from people. And Jesus said these robbing, stealing tax collectors are going to sit in the kingdom of God before you are. Prostitutes are going to come and sit in the kingdom of God before you are." Don't you have hope? Don't you have hope? Spencer, the only one got hope. You got hope? Don't you have hope? Aren't you glad? Let me tell you, there's a starting point with God. And I would have thought, and you'll think the same thing in a moment. But Ralph, I would have thought when God decided to start his story of redemption. Now listen, his story of redemption. The Bible is the ever-ending story. Never-ending story, rather. It's the never-ending story. It's the story of redemption from Genesis to Revelation to now, 4 million years from now. It's a never-ending story. I would have thought God would have started his story of redemption with maybe Enoch. Because the Bible said Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God. And undoubtedly he walked so close to God that one day God said, Enoch, you walk in so close to me, I'm just going to take you on up here with me. And the Bible says, and he was not, for God took him. Then there's a man named Noah, and it says, and Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God, and he was blameless in the sight of God. I would have thought, maybe that's a good place to start the story of redemption. Somebody who's walking that way, wouldn't you? Huh? If you go, if you got a business and you want to find somebody to do the best job for you, who are you going to look for? You're going to look for the most qualified. You're going to look for the most knowledgeable. You're going to look for the person who you think will do the best job, aren't you? I mean, we do that. We do that all through life. We look for the most qualified to do it. Well, God didn't choose Enoch. He didn't choose Noah. He chose Abraham, an idolater, a worshiper, not just an idolater. The Bible says he was a worshiper of idols. Now, when I first read that, I thought, what did God see in Abraham that maybe saw where he could be the beginning of the story of redemption? I believe personally, and this is some purism, I believe that he saw a man who was committed and showed allegiance to his idols in such a way that he worshiped them. And maybe if he could be turned around, maybe if he could take that energy that's misguided and turn it around, then maybe he could find this man who worshiped idols, who had no strength and no power, who had eyes but couldn't see and ears that couldn't hear. If he would worship a dead idol, how much more would he worship a live God? And so he calls Abraham, and he called him out with a purpose reason, not a personal reason. This is going to mean a whole lot more to you in a few moments. He didn't call Abraham out personally for a reason. He called him out for a greater reason than personal. He called him out for a purpose. And in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, the Lord God said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your families, father's family, go to the land that I'll show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make you famous. You'll be a blessing to what? I will bless those who bless you, curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. God didn't save you for you. He's far greater than that. One Sunday night, 44 years ago, God didn't reach down and woo me and Barbara back to him for us. There was a far greater reason than that. Far greater reason than a personal reason. Oh, he loves me. He loves her. But it was a far, far greater reason than that. And some of those reasons are sitting all around me this morning. And some of those reasons I play golf with. And some of those reasons I eat with and I fellowship with. Some of those reasons I have family with and I help to mature them and mentor them. There's a far greater reason that Sunday night when God by his Holy Spirit reached out and said, I'm calling you to something higher than you are yourself. I'm calling you to something way greater than you'll ever know, you could ever imagine. I'm not calling you. I'm not personally giving you an invitation. I'm giving you a purpose in life to live out. And the greatest thing in life that you can have is a purpose. It's greater than relationships. It's greater than anything else on the planet Earth. Is I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. Yes, sir. And he called Abraham so that he might bring them into an inheritance. You see, the Bible says we can see the kingdom, and you got to see it first. Then you got to enter the kingdom to inherit the kingdom. And that's huge. A lot of people see it. They just never enter into it. And if you never enter into it, you never inherit it. But if you see it, thank God for seeing it. But seeing it is something greater than seeing it. It's doing it. It's entering it. And after I enter it, I inherit it. You see, it's first the land, and then let me get a little kingdom theology going. Okay, I ain't preached kingdom in a long time. It's first the land, then it's the earth. The recovery of a portion of the land now would eventually be the whole earth. He started with Eden, but he wanted the whole earth. Come on, y'all. He started with Eden, but he wanted the whole earth. He started with a small portion of land called Eden, but he wanted more than that out of Eden. He wanted the whole earth to be filled with the glory of God, because that's what the kingdom's all about. The kingdom's greater than a person. The kingdom is a nation. The kingdom is a government of all the people, for the people, in the people, through the people, be the people. It's for everything. See, the gospel of grace is for the lost, but the gospel of the kingdom is to bring God's grace to the whole earth. The gospel of grace is for me to get in, but the gospel of the kingdom is to take this thing to the whole earth. Abraham was God's starting point in undoing the effects of the fall. Abraham was just a starting point. Sin always affects more than just us. It affects our inheritance. Sin affects way more than us. It affects our inheritance. You see, it was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Those same scriptures. And you go to Matthew and he talks about the generations of Jesus. And he talks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But there was a man named Esau. And it could have been the God of Abraham and Isaac and Esau. But Esau made a bad choice. And sometimes, oh, my choices really don't matter, really. Abraham's the father of all them that believe. It rises on faith and it falls on the lack of it. Rises on faith and it falls on the lack of it. I want to end this thing with a little story of how the Israelites finally got to the place where they needed to be. You see, it must have been great, and it was great, when they left Egypt and the bondage left them. That had to have been a great feeling. How many know it's a great feeling when bondages leave you? When I went home that Sunday night, see, I was the difference. I looked in the mirror, Joey, and I saw the same person. Same hair, same eyes, same ears, same nose. Looked just like me. I looked just like me. But something was different, because I looked on the inside of me and I didn't see any guilt. And I didn't see any shame. And I didn't see any condemnation. And I saw a purpose. It was far greater than I was. And that purpose began to rise up. And see, it felt great when Israel came out of bondage. It was an awesome feeling. But that's not why he brought them out. He didn't bring them out of bondage just to free them from guilt and condemnation and shame. The Bible says, I brought you out to bring you in. I brought you out to bring you in. I brought you out of bondage to give you an inheritance. Say inheritance. Now, he didn't choose me with an inheritance. He chose me to go to an inheritance. See, I didn't have one when he chose me. I didn't have anything, Penny, when he chose me. You didn't have anything when he chose you, Terry. You didn't have an inheritance when he chose you. Because he didn't choose you with one. He chose you to one. He chose you to become one. He chose you to go to your inheritance. You see, His presence, that's automatic. How'd I write that? God's presence is guaranteed, but his promises are optional. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you to the end of the world. I'll be with you always. That's guaranteed. He's going to be with me everywhere I go, every step, every place I am. He's with me. I'm guaranteed he's with me. I ain't guaranteed the inheritance. But I'm going to tell you how to get your inheritance. How many want to get their inheritance besides me and Ken? I can see it in his eyes. How many? Who wants their inheritance? Not just it's free from bondage. I'm going to show you how to get it. And it's going to be so simple, you're going to be shouting in a moment. It's so simple that you, it's going to be so simple, Billy, it's going to be hard to believe it's so simple. It's too good. This is one of them things, it's going to be almost too good to believe. It's almost too good, man. Finally, God said, all right, it's time. Moses is dead. It's time. Law's dead. Law's dead. That which had you in bondage, it's dead. Moses is dead. Law can't bring you in. Joshua's name means Jesus. Joshua's name is Jesus. Joshua is Jesus in the Hebrew, the God who saves. And the law couldn't bring him in. That's the reason he said, Moses, I'll take you to the top of the mountain where you got it. And I'll let you see it. But I can't bring you in it because law can't get this thing. Can't bring you in that way. And so in Joshua 1, 6, be strong and courageous. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong, again he says. You know why he's got to say it twice? Same reason you said, you tell your kid one and then you tell him again. You already told me that. I know I told you that, but I'm telling you again. Because you're going to forget it before you leave. And the next moment you're going to forget it. So I'm going to tell you again. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Don't deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you'll be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my, be strong and, third time. Third time's a charm. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be. That's the word. He didn't say don't feel afraid, don't feel discouraged. Because I felt discouraged this week. I felt it. Pastor Beard gets discouraged every now and then. Yeah. Sure do. You do too. Every now and then, I get discouraged sometimes on Sunday morning. I come in and I say, where is all the people? Where are the people? There they go. I must go after them, for I am their leader. Where are all the... Sometimes I get... But you know what? I may get discouraged for a moment, but you never hear me get up here and preach like I got 5 here or 500 here or 5,000 here. I'm going to give the same load to everybody, no matter who it is. I can feel afraid and I can feel discouraged, but I'm not going to be afraid and I'm not going to be discouraged. Because I'm going to look beyond what I feel and I'm going to look into who I am. And when I say who I am, then I know I am a being that I have been written on by God. And I'm in his likeness and in his image. And in him I live and I move and I have my being. So I'm not coming against you in the flesh. I'm coming against them with the armor of God on because I'm walking in him and he is in me. God's given you an inheritance. Your real enemies are not the people. Your enemy is you. Who told you you couldn't hit that shot? Got in your head. Got in your head. Who is your enemy? Who? Say it loud.
Me.
No matter what somebody else said, no matter what somebody else says to me, no matter what I say to myself, I'm just going to talk myself right back into being who God says that I am. And all I have to do is say, I am. There's a bride we sang in the song a little while ago. She's clothed in white. David said, I want to paint that sign white. I said, oh, man. Man, it looks so good up there the way it is. It stands out. You want to paint it white? We voted him down. Then we had another meeting. We voted him back up. I looked at him. I said, David, I'm going to trust you. Remember? I said, David, I don't get it. I don't see it. But I'm going to trust you. So we wrote all our words up there so that you might know that your being is because you're the bride and he's clothing you in white. And you are not who you say you are. You are who he says you are. And I've got to know, I may feel this way, but that ain't me. I may feel fear. Let me tell you something. David walked out there. I always see this preach like he's out there. I come against you in the name of the Lord. I'm sure he said that. But let me tell you something. If he'd not been afraid, he'd have picked up one stone. Why'd he pick up five? In case I missed the first time, I'm coming at you again. I'm going to keep it. He was afraid. He didn't say, don't feel afraid, David. Don't be afraid. That's a different story. Don't be afraid. You can feel it. Don't be it. You know, and how we make these scriptures so personal, and that's fine. It's good. We should make it personal. I try to make it personal too, but my gosh, really? He's talking to Joshua, and he's under man, he's under armed, he's got to go against all the Jebusites, Petasites, whatever the sites, Ikes are, cellulites, I don't know all the Ikes. I got to go against all them, and here I am. And God says, you know, be not afraid. And then sometimes I go, I need $50 to pay my bills. If you can take, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. Did we sing that or not? If he split the sea so we could walk right through it, don't you think he can take care of all the little insignificant things that we have in life? Don't you think? We can all get a woman at whatever age in life. Don't you think it can? Just don't you give up. You just don't give up. It can happen to you. It can happen to you. Sorry, Bumper. It won't embarrass you. I gotta get away from that. That embarrassed me. No, it embarrassed him. Right? Yeah, we got broke down one time. We got really broke down one time. And people could have said, can't make it now. Can't break down like that and make it now. Huh? And somebody said, well, you're this, you're that. I may feel that, but I ain't that. What the enemy meant for harm, God meant for good. I may be knocked down, but I'm getting back up. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I fall. I shall rise again. Seven times in a day a righteous man will fall, but seven times in a day he'll get right back up. Don't judge me by my successes. Judge me by how many times I got knocked down and I got right back up. Don't judge me because I fell. Judge me because I got up. Don't judge me because I succeeded in all these things. Look at me because I got back up. And that's all that really matters. It's when you get knocked down, you just get right back up. And if you keep getting right back up, you're going to finally get right back up for the last time, and nothing else is going to matter. Aren't you glad? I'm glad. I hope she's glad. He split the sea so I could walk right through it. What's the rest of it? Come on. Come here, buddy. He split the sea so what? And what? My fears are drowned in what? Wow. Wow. Split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You feel it? Yeah, I feel it. Don't matter. It's not who I am. It's not who I be. I be far greater than that. And you are too. Don't judge yourself by your successes. Judge yourself by the time you got knocked down and you got back up. I'm an overcomer. I don't know whether to be an overcomer. It's overcome. And we all are overcomers. For I've made them more than conquerors. For we know all things work together for good. For them that love God and them that are called according to his purpose. For them he knew. He justified them. He justified, he glorified. What shall we say then to these things? He that's for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not then by him give us all things? For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, the principalities nor powers, the things present and things to come, nor demons or angels, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. For he has made us more than a conqueror. And I've said this before, but more, you know, some people just want to conquer, and that's great. But you know what it means when he says you're more than a conqueror? Whatever is taken from you, you go back and get it, and you get some more with it. That's more than a conqueror. It's not getting back what was stolen. It's getting back seven. The Bible says if the thief is found out, he's stolen from you, he's got to give you seven times back more than he took. So whatever has been taken from you, it's going to be seven times better. Your relationship been hurt, it's going to be seven times better. Seven times better. Why? Because you stood up. Stood up. So it's going to be seven times better. Not just going to get back what was stolen from you. Going to get back seven times more than was stolen from you. I don't know about you, but I had some joy taken from me sometimes. Anybody ever had joy taken from them? You can get seven times back. Seven times back. I like multiplication. Addition's good, but I like being multiplied, don't you? Multiplied. And I just want to encourage some of you. You've been through a lot. But your inheritance, Jason, is seven times. You're seven times golfer you used to be already. That don't really matter. That stuff's just, you know, that's okay. But it's a good illustration. There's more than that. Our inheritance is far greater than that is spiritual. It's fruitful. It's bountiful. It's bountiful. I want you to stand together. Kitty, I just want you to just play that like you're playing now. I want the elders to come, and we're going to stand, and we're going to receive communion. Oh, what a special time to receive communion, to remember. Because that's what it's about, isn't it? A remembrance of who you are, a remembrance of what Christ has done for you. Wow. Ralph, join me up here for a moment. We're getting ready to do this. You're supposed to take it when I tell you to take it. Ralph's Ralph. He's just going to do what he's going to do. I want you to listen closely because I want this to be a visual testimony, okay? You're here this morning, and you've gone through some things in life. And I would stand down there, but I'm going to stand right here. And you can honestly say, as a testimony, that what you went through in life, God has turned it around, and you're at least 7 times more blessed than you were because of that. Now just think about that for a moment. I want you to be a living testimony. I want you to come and just stand across the front with your elements, and we'll receive it together. But you're here, and you went through something, and you just held on to God, and it was tough, but you can honestly say today it's at least 7 times better than it was. Would you just come and stand up front? Testimonies. You know, I call these trophies of grace. You know, probably all of you here sometime in your life, I even have a golf trophy, believe it or not. I won a golf tournament. Me and some other guys. But I have a little golf trophy. I won a golf tournament. You know what? And everybody likes to win, don't you? You like to win. Come on. You're not going to play a game and not want to win. And you have these trophies. The Bible says we do it not to obtain a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible crown, one that doesn't perish. And so here you are standing as trophies of grace. I wish my mantle was big enough that I'd put you all up on it and let you sit there for a week so I could just see the trophies of grace. Trophies of grace. So Lord, we are in remembrance today because of what you did for us at Calvary. You've brought us to a place 7 times better, at least, than what it was. And I'm still not perfect, Michael. I'm still not perfect. I still stumble and fall, but when I do, I got this. And when I receive that, I know I'm cleansed, I'm forgiven, I'm made whole. And that's what it's all about. Amen. You can go back to your seats just for a moment before Will comes. You can come on up, Will. And we start. We start the Intentional Mind series this Wednesday night. And I know everybody can't come on a Wednesday night, but this is really far-reaching outside of these four walls to a lot of other people. And when I read that in Joshua, when I read in Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from thee. What he's saying is the things that were told you that were good, the things that was promised to you. Hold on to that. Don't let go of that. And when I think about the intentional mind in this series, I'm not going to turn to the left or right. When I get discouraged, I'm going to be encouraged. When I feel discouraged, I'm going to be encouraged. When I feel afraid, I'm going to be strong.
Right.
Okay? So I've asked Ralph to share a moment with what he was looking at for this journey.
Okay, great. Well, it's an honor. This would be our third annual. We called it the last couple of years, School of Positive Thinking. And we got to thinking, David did, mentioned it to me, that school can have such a negative meaning to it to a lot of people. Because I've had people say, school, what do I want to go back to school for? Took me 18 years to get out of it. So what we did, David, and I want to thank David. David, thank you, son. Thank you so much. David said, let me just run this by you. And he had to run it by me. The moment he mentioned it, I caught it. Intentional mind, the journey to positive thinking. And everything has got to have a starting point. And it has to start with your intent. When you intend to be positive. Now, Buren had been bringing a great word on intent. Because most of us have got the wrong meaning of the word intent. Well, I intended to do it. And like Buren brought out, no, you didn't. Because if you intended to do it, you would have done it. So this is what becoming positive. Now, just because you know a few positive words, how many know don't make you positive?
Right.
You'll never know how negative you are till you become positive. And then you realize that the majority of your conversation, because we're always raised in negativity, and it becomes so familiar to us, we don't even know we're negative. And we forget that Solomon wrote in Proverbs that life and death is in the power of your speech. It's all in how you talk. And so we're going to be bringing some things out in this intentional mind, journey to positive thinking, that I'm sure that you think you already know. Well, I already know that. How many know the knowledge of something is not the possession of it? Really, it's best not to know it than to know it and don't become it. And we think we already know, but we don't. Because knowing has got a journey within itself. The journey begins in knowing, yes, first knowing, just first base. How many know when you went, now in my day, we didn't have kindergarten, we had first grade. And in the first grade, I thought I knew it. And really in 12th grade, I thought I knew it. And life just kept unfolding before me. And the more it unfolded, the more I realized I didn't know. I thought I knew. Because knowledge is something and not the possession of it. Knowing something will begin to end once you become it. And it can take years between knowing it and becoming it. It's all based on how much you're going to practice it. Well, thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. I know somebody said, I knew that. I remember sharing with Buren not long ago that always there's a thing in Scripture called the law of first mention. And the law of first mention in the Bible, whenever it's first mentioned, it defines what it is, and it carries that meaning throughout the whole Scripture. Well, the first time the term Pharisee is used in the Bible is from Nicodemus, and the first thing he said to Jesus was, Master, I know. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you don't know diddly squat. Well, being that you know Nicodemus, that's all you said you know, then you know, then you got to be born again. And Nicodemus said, what do you mean by that? You mean as old as I am, I got to go back and come back through my mother's womb? Jesus said, well, Nicodemus, you said you knew. I thought you knew. No, you don't know, Nicodemus. That's the key. You don't know. And I know people, just because you heard me maybe say something in this school, I know because you said it last year. The key to it, you may have to say it a million times. See, when Peter, in 1 Peter, addressed his church, he said, I'm here to put you in remembrance of things you already know. I'm not here to tell you some mystery that you don't know. We already know it, but we haven't become it. You got to be it. And that would take years of practicing over and over. It activates something in the universe called the laws of repetition. The laws of repetition. I thank God in 1959, my first grade teacher, Miss Hart, just didn't tell us the ABCs one time and said, well, you should have it by now. No, she went over it every day. She lined us all up. So you don't want to miss this school, because we're going to say some things, I promise you, that will seem like it's shaking your foundation of what you believe in. And I hope so. Because that's the only way you're going to get some flowers to grow. You've got to stick a pitchfork in and break up the root system for it to grow. Because if not, it becomes root bound. And it can't grow until I've seen Francis do it over and over in springtime. Go out there in the pitchfork and put around all her hostas and all her plants and just put the pitchfork in and push up until you hear crick, 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 crack, all cracking the roots. You've got to loosen it up. And before you know, new growth begin to come. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be putting pitchforks in you. Pushing you up by the roots so you can begin to grow. I remember the first thing I said to Buren when I came here, going on 5 years ago. And we had been friends at that time for 38, 39 years. And I said, Buren, who do you think convinced Jesus he was God? And Buren said, well, I guess he did. Absolutely. I said, then you get the shiny penny. He had to convince himself he was God. He had to convince himself he was God. And I want to be showing you in this school there's a difference between Jesus and Christ. How many know Christ wasn't his last name? He was born, Jesus, with Christ in him. And Christ had to grow in him, develop in him, until finally Christ outgrew him and became then Christ Jesus and not Jesus Christ. And you see, Christ is in you as he was in Jesus. And he has to grow. That's why Paul told the church in Galatia, his church that he founded, little children, I'm going to travail in prayer over you again, 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 and again, and again, and again, until Christ be formed in you. Now, why would he tell Christians that if they already were Christ? Because they wasn't. They had been born again. They had knew Jesus. That's why Jesus himself told Peter, there's a time coming, Peter, when you are converted, changed, converted. You will then strengthen the brethren. But until then, you're just about yourself. And that's what this school, Intentional's Mind, the journey to positive thinking, we're going to do. We're going to help loosen up your roots so Christ can be formed in you and Christ can grow in you. And he can only grow through your intentions. So we're going to help you to convince yourself. See, once Jesus has convinced himself every day that he was the Christ of God, until it became his dominant thought. And when this became Jesus' dominant thought, that he was the Christ of God, his God-like works began to manifest in everything he does. And that's what we want to do for you. So come to this school. Oh, I know. Then you definitely need to come. Amen. Amen. All right? All right.
You going to come?
I'm going to try to be here if this cold is any better. Y'all pray that this cold will be better.
Ralph, whoever it took 18 years to get through 12 years of school, I see why they think it wasn't a negative word. As our ushers are preparing this morning, hope that you have your connection card filled out, ready to drop in the bucket. If you're a visitor, thank you for being here this morning. We'd love to be able to follow up with an email. If you came this morning for the prospective member lunch right after church, that means that you didn't fill out one of these cards because we didn't have someone other than a staff member check that they were coming. So there is no prospective member lunch today. We did have several that said they were interested. We will do that on the first Sunday in November will be the next time. So make sure that you mark your calendars for that. Starting this Tuesday night, there's an empowerment group meeting that is taking place for an hour. It will be in the conference room in the middle building. And if you want to learn more of what it means to be free, Pastor Spencer Fry will be leading that class on Tuesdays. You can still get plugged in for the Public Safety Appreciation Family Barbecue. We have sent the invitations to our police department and to our fire and rescue, so we need your help to pull off that day. So there's a lot of important information there. If you have not downloaded the Eagles Way app yet, you can still do that. You can give from this app. A lot of people are using the push pay portion of it and giving from the app. A new feature that we have is we have added a Converge Youth section. So if you go and you click on Converge Youth, parents, if you want to listen to the podcast, what they're hearing on Sunday mornings, you can listen to that so that you have an idea. And then you can ask your child a question. I heard Brian said this. And they're going to look at you like, how'd you know he said that? And you can quiz them and figure it out. But a way that you can continue to keep up with that. So a new feature that we're adding there. I had a group me message that wanted to know if they could get a copy of the youth video this morning. Later on today, sometime, you'll be able to see that video on the video app. So it's pretty cool. You need to check it out and use it. I think I covered everything I was supposed to. God's a good God, isn't he? Doesn't matter if we go a little longer on a particular Sunday. The goodness of him and what he wants to lead you to and direct you in is worth whatever weight, whatever it takes, whatever class, whatever school, it doesn't matter. Apply yourself. Never give up. Keep giving all that you got. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come, that we can worship, that we can give. We can be blessed by your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need prayer for a particular reason, you can meet Pastor Ralph. He's going to be standing right over here underneath this screen. And Pastor Buren, if you'll be over here under this screen while we sing this last song and you need prayer, they will be standing there for you to pray for them or me down front.
Let's stand and worship.
I am a child. guys have a great day.